Hello, and welcome to Plan Lehigh Valley, the WDIY program presented along with our partners from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. Joining me today, as always, are our co-hosts, Becky Bradley, who is the Executive Director of the Planning Commission, and Managing Editor, Matt Assad. Hello, folks.
Hello.
Good evening.
So today's episode is going to focus on the two-year effort to update Future LV, the regional plan, which serves as the force guiding the region's land use, transportation, environmental, and community development needs for the next several decades. For this show, we're going to focus on the recent Future LV strategy labs that brought in experts and community members from across the region to discuss the challenges communities are facing and the opportunities that can help them thrive. As our guest, we have Giovanna Rizcala, who co-authored the report summarizing the strategy labs. Gio serves as an AI engineer and innovation planner at the LVPC, where she develops data-driven tools that support regional planning, forecasting, and strategic decision-making. With more than 7 years of experience in artificial intelligence, machine learning, and advanced analytics, Gio is an expert in helping organizations turn complex data into practical solutions. Before joining the Planning Commission, she worked with SABIS's Research and Development Department in the Lebanese Republic. Earlier in her career, she gained experience in the financial sector through an internship with Bank Audi, also in Lebanon. She holds a bachelor's degree in mathematics and a master's degree in computational science and engineering from the University of Rostock in Germany. She has also completed specialized certifications in machine learning from Stanford University, combining a strong academic foundation with a passion for using technology to improve how communities plan for the future. That's not a whole lot of anything. So welcome, Gio.
Thank you.
I always love doing this show because I read these bios and I'm like, we have some really smart people working for us here in the Lehigh Valley. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Matt, give people an idea what Future LV is and what's happening now to get the region ready.
Every month we talk a lot about plans on this show. I think this year alone we talked about a $545 million transportation plan, a regional climate action plan. We've talked about a trail connection strategy, tons of plans. Almost every month, several of them. Every single one of them is based on Future LV. It's kind of an umbrella that sets the land use, housing, environment, transportation, economy, community development. It sets the policy for Lehigh and Northampton counties. So everything else is based on that. Our planners and engineers, they get like 1,000 development-related reviews a year, and 100% of them are reviewed based on whether they align with Future LV. So it's a pretty important plan. So basically, when a data center project comes to our office, our recommendations of whether it fits in the community are based on this plan. And then beginning in 2019, we started including the 25-year transportation plan in with the plan. In the past, it was just a comprehensive plan that mostly dealt with land use and those type of policies. But we sort of merged it in 2019. And at that time, it was one of the first in the country that kind of merged the two plans. And you could sort of put the power of transportation investment behind some of your community decisions with land use, which was kind of innovative at the time. That enables us to sort of target those billions of dollars in the places that they can do the most good.
Right. Yeah. So the word plan, when you talk about a big plan like this, like gets a bad rap. Like everybody likes to do their strategic planning and then it sits on the shelf, right? That's not what we're talking about here, right? This is like plans for action.
Yes. And Future LV, the regional plan, is used literally every day by the State Department of Transportation, PennDOT, when they're out there investing in the road network. It's used by our counties to make parks, rec, and open space decisions, farmland preservation decisions. It's utilized by the LVPC and our local governments. We review every subdivision and land development plan in the entire region against that plan, along with our local government partners to see what the impact of various changes could be. Every land development ordinance, so zoning, subdivision land development, traffic impact fee, parks rec, open space fee, I could keep going. but it is literally utilized every day. And one of the things that I think is an unsung hero reason, way that Future LV is used, is the state utilizes it in decision-making for grants, like Department of Conservation and Natural Resources grants, like Pennsylvania Department of Transportation grants to local governments to accomplish their goals. So really what Future LV does is it brings all of us together to come up with a common set of values and then enables all of us in our various ways, every partner, to be able to utilize that common set of values to move forward with what everybody needs to move forward with in their respective area.
So this involves hundreds of people, obviously, right? I mean, a big
thousands.
Plan. Thousands. Okay. Was it important to bring that many voices to the table instead of just having planners write the plan?
And I mean, we're in the process of still bringing people to the table. This was kind of our upfront qualitative look at what's needed. And we really wanted to approach it from a solutions mindset. So instead of it being a typical strengths, opportunities, weaknesses, and threats discussion with the various partners that came to the table, we wanted it to be like, what are our strengths? What are our opportunities? And then how can we implement, right? So we took a very different approach than people normally take, because the folks that came to the table were there because they wanted to come to the table. We had these as publicly advertised meetings. We invited everyone who we saw. And so people who were subject matter experts in various areas, into just people who were interested because they felt that this issue was not being addressed, or, hey, you know what? I have some ideas on how this could be better. And so people came to the table in this first kind of set of dialogues, and it's only the first set, to really give direction and priority to where we go with the policy.
You mentioned the strategy lab earlier. Can you talk more about that?
Oh, yes. Yes, I should have started there, right? There are workshops in which community members were invited to discuss the region's needs. And we looked at a number of topics: the economy, municipal needs, especially around development and land use. And every municipality is not the same. So we looked at and spoke with the cities, with suburban communities, with rural areas, boroughs, and exurban communities or exurban areas. Those are places where it's going. It kind of isn't fully suburban, but it's not really rural anymore either. But it kind of feels rural, but you're really not sure. That's what exurban means. We looked at transportation, arts and culture, the environment, community infrastructure. So that's everything from sewer and water to parks, recreation, open space. We looked at emergency management services, healthcare. And then I know Gio is going to talk a little bit more about this, but one of the more interesting topics is trends and then future forces. Like, what are the things that we need to know now? And what are those kind of bellwethers of change? So we talked about the now, and then we focused on the next and what we all could contribute to continuing to improve the quality, maintaining and improve the quality of life of the region, as well as the economy, the environment, and all the things that make the Lehigh Valley great. So we really looked at all of those things and had very specific meetings around those topics. So we were being mindful of giving time to those subtopics that fit into the more comprehensive picture of the region.
Okay, so going over to you, Gio, talk about how these labs are structured, who participated, were they mostly planners, elected officials, were there residents involved?
So we really wanted these labs to be interactive and community-centered. Over 2 weeks back in May, we hosted 9 separate two-hour workshops, each centered on a different topic. Each of these labs was set up as small table groups of 3 to 6 people per table. Labs started with a quick presentation from our LVPC staff to explain why we were updating Future LV, the regional plan, and how participants are directly contributing. So because each lab topic was broad, it was divided into multiple subtopics. The workshop moved in cycles. For each specific subtopic, staff gave a brief background presentation to set the stage. Then the tables took over. They picked a group leader, which we called them mayors, and spent 10 minutes discussing where the region excels and where we need to grow. And then the mayor reported the group's key takeaways to the whole room before we moved to the next subtopic. So our staff sat at each table, but only as a facilitator. We didn't offer our own opinion. This created a great setup where participants shared challenges, opportunity, community goals, and how will the desired outcome be measured. We actually had a wonderful mix of participants. Over 160 people joined across these 2 weeks, and making sure everyday residents had a seat at the table was vital to the process. We had local mayors, township officials, and professional planners in the room, of course, but sitting right next to them were local business owners, nonprofit leaders, students, technical experts, and neighborhood residents. This allowed us to gather information that were rooted in real lived everyday experience.
Yeah, there was really a wide range. And
Yeah.
some of them, when I saw some of them coming in, and so like probably at the same table, there were students who probably have no income or not much income. And there were at least one business owner I know is worth close to $1 billion. So, I mean, it was a really cool mix of folks that participated in these.
Wow.
It was just nice to see sort of like a such a cross section of the community.
Yeah. So, Gio, you use something called the SOARS planning method, SOARS. What makes that approach different from a traditional public meeting?
SOAR stands for Strength, Opportunity, Aspiration, and Results. It's a framework that focuses on building from a place of strength. So we started each discussion by asking what makes the Lehigh Valley unique and what are we already doing really well? That gave us a solid foundation. From there, we explored opportunities we can take advantage of. Then we asked about aspiration. So what is our shared vision for the future of our region? And finally, results. How will we know when we've actually accomplished our goals? SOAR framework is a very constructive, forward-looking way to plan because it grounds the conversation in what's working today while setting clear, measurable targets for the future.
Now, tell us what some of the key findings were.
So because we covered 9 different topics, we were able to gather huge wealth of information, but several big themes crossed almost every single discussion. So first, regional collaboration came up everywhere. People kept emphasizing that our 62 municipalities need to coordinate and work together across borders. Second was balancing our growth with preservation. Residents and leaders alike want to accommodate growth, but they want to do that through redevelopment and smarter land use so we can protect our local community character. Another major focus was connectivity and infrastructure. People stressed the need to modernize aging roads, bridges, and water systems while closing gaps in transit, trails, sidewalk, and high-speed internet to link people to jobs and everyday services. Finally, workforce development was huge across the different industries, addressing labor shortages and making sure families have affordable childcare were seen as critical to keeping our young people here and keeping the region thriving. So, bottom line, residents want a region that's connected and proactive about the future without losing the unique community feel that makes the Lehigh Valley special.
It's a big task to try to keep everything, the way it is and what people love, and then also evolve. I'm thinking about I had to drive to Bangor yesterday from Allentown, and it's like driving through two different countries, right? Like, how do you balance all of that?
What that theme is almost like sort of the underpinning of the whole Lehigh Valley, if you think about it, because what people cite as our quality of life is almost always open space and recreation and these things that sort of dominate the Lehigh Valley. But at the same time, all of those things attract a bunch more people. So you have to put a bunch more people someplace. So now you're balancing, growing a lot with wanting to continue having open space and recreation and, bypass and that kind of thing. So It is a balance. I mean, it's kind of the theme of the future for the Lehigh Valley, because how do you strike the balance? How do you keep growing? Because everybody wants to grow. How do you keep
Right.
growing while you kind of preserve all those things that kind of are making you grow?
Yeah,
Not
yeah.
every region has that. Yeah, some of
Yeah.
them are like, we'll take whatever we can get. We want to grow, and balance is the word.
Well, and I
Okay.
think too, one of the challenges is and Gio outlined it very eloquently. There's broad alignment of where we should be going, right? There's no one fighting over the need for balance. No one. Well, why isn't it happening? And why are communities or property owners choosing not to go with the things that they really, really want? And so I think that's where the real policy focus when you do the plan has to be on those solutions based, you know, how can we make this easier for folks? How can we build recognition that if you make this decision, it works against what you actually want, right? And there are actually structural challenges to the balance that are out of anybody's control in the Lehigh Valley. They have to do with, you know, state statutes and other things. But where we do have control of those individual decisions, those municipal decisions, those landowner decisions, those county decisions, private and nonprofit decisions, whatever decisions are made, we should be doing those with deep intention. And really, that's what people are asking, but they're saying, we're not sure how to do it. So we're going to hopefully figure out how we can work together to do that and give different ideas for those solutions to achieve those broader goals. And that's really what a comprehensive plan should do. It should balance things and then give ways that we can achieve that balance, or if we have balance in something, not destabilize it. But it's going to be a really compound, complex series of not just policy solutions. It's not just a policy document. It is an actual strategy for achieving the goals that are widely accepted and widely like clamored for, quite frankly, by the region.
Going back to the labs, Becky, you covered everything from transportation to healthcare to AI. Why was it important to look at all of these topics together?
Because it's a comprehensive plan, right? In the nature of it being comprehensive. And I'm not trying to be snarky about it, but because it's an important question that you asked. What does make a successful community? Well, it's all those things, and even things, you know, within those things, you know, subtopics within those things. And so we didn't want to jump at the upfront to, well, okay, now how do we put it all together? Because that would have missed those very detailed conversations that needed to happen in the strategy labs on the specifics of each of those subcategories. The big job now is like how to put it together in a comprehensive way, and then take it out to the folks that participated in this and more folks along the way and said, well, do we think this is really how we can achieve what we want to achieve? And then refine that and get the plan together. But again, balance in all things, but including all things, right? The one cool thing I love about the word comprehensive and what I really love about comprehensive planning is that it isn't just about one thing or another. It's about how everything works. So it's similar to, you know, a conductor in an orchestra. That plan is the conductor that helps make every one of those individual expert musicians shine and bring something even bigger to the table when you put it together. And it's the plan is that glue. And so that's really what we're working towards.
Yeah, and it kind of goes back to your original question about the togetherness of it. It's not just about how they all work, it's how they work together once they are together, which is kind of why, what you were saying in the first place, why we sort of wanted to look at all this stuff together rather than in isolation.
Sure.
Matt, was there anything that surprised you about the findings?
Mean, I think Gio alluded to it a little earlier, but the biggest thing is so these labs by design were very different. Economy is a lot different than transportation, and that's a lot different than arts and culture. But it was amazing how many of them cited the same things, like the same challenges that they had, and the same things that, you know, we're going to get through this with. They all cited community collaboration. They all cited the wanting to preserve and wanting to have that balance. A lot of them cited, aging infrastructure and funding constraints. So, even unrelated topics, they said kind of the same things. They're facing some of the same things, which kind of made some of the meetings kind of inspiring because, they were passionate about it, and these were designed to be, efficient 2-hour meetings. But I'll tell you what, if we'd have let them go unlimited, people would have stayed all afternoon. I mean, we had some passionate folks. We had 43 people at the arts and culture one, and these folks had some thoughts. They had thoughts and they had ideas. So people came ready to sort of tell us what they were experiencing, and it really got a lot of them had a lot of the same challenges that they're facing, and it was kind of inspiring to see people who never met each other in the same room working together.
Becky, what gives you the most optimism after reading all of these strategy lab discussions?
Well, Matt just said it. But the one thing I think that kind of stuck out to me that Matt didn't say is the cross-sector collaboration that already exists and the desire to do more and more of that. A recognition by the private sector that the government sector has to also be healthy and that it's not an us against them. The government sector, the same, right? That they need, private sector to support to continue to prioritize things like major infrastructure improvements. And the discussions that were had around that. One of the things that I thought was important and illustrates that is everyone sees electrical infrastructure and broadband infrastructure is essential utilities now, right? Now that seems simple to say, but those are privately held. And so how does that then coordinate with publicly held infrastructure in the sewer, water, stormwater spaces, the parks, rec, and open spaces, and all of those things? And so there was these really deep and interesting conversations about collaboration across the board. And the nonprofit sector was in there too. Also, people who just were there because they were interested and they're caring citizens and they want to be part of the community in a more active way, including we had a former NASA satellite engineer show up. Literally, this man has helped like launch satellites into space. And he wanted to be there because he moved here to be closer to his grandchildren, right? We've heard that from a number of people as reasons to move here because other people in their family moved here. And now he wants to be part of the region too and have influence. So I think all of those things, the deep caring, the coordination, collaboration, the recognition that the facts are the facts, which by the way, we laid out in each thing. We spent a lot of time, Geo and the team that she works with in data, Clay and Dr. Carell's been on the show, Clay Carnes, Dr. Carell, Beth Ritter-Guth, Minsu Park. All of them did a lot of great work along with the other planning staff to, lay out some basic information on each of these topics. And people didn't argue about it. They understood, yep, this is where we see the change, and they immediately walked to the solutions. That was really impressive. I love to do planning, duh, right? I don't know why I just said that, but I love it so much. I think about it all the time. And, this is a big regional plan. And so I'm like really jazzed up, right? It's like throwing candy at a kid. So here I am, doing my Becky thing, loving the planning. But this gave me even more energy to be able to work on this and to see that group of people saying, hey, we want to do this with you and being part of that. That's what I love about the Lehigh Valley. And so this is way beyond that plan. The amount of caring here, no matter who you are, where you came from, is incredible. And I'm not sure we realize that that doesn't exist in other regions. I talk to my colleagues all around the country, and they're just fighting to get people at the table. Here, we just throw out a social post. Geo even made some like cool videos, threw out some, things here and there to try to get people there, and people just showed up. And so that's a really, really great part of all this too.
Yeah, it's a very unique community here for as large as we are. all the different ways that people come together. It's truly unique. I say that having never lived anywhere else in my life, but you know. So, Becky, as we're rounding out our half hour here, what are the next steps?
Okay, there are many.
Shocker.
It's comprehensive, all right, in every way. So, the next thing we're going to do is work with our local governments and infrastructure partners to figure out what are the region's specific infrastructure needs. So, we're going to be asking them for not only what road, bridge, transit projects, bike ped. Infrastructure projects they have on the transportation side, but we're also going to be asking them, what are your other utility needs and concerns? Because those are all foundational for their community, right? Like we need those, all of those things, and we probably need more of them, and we need investment in existing facilities and the like. So we want to get a sense from them, what are their very specific needs at that local level? We're going to compile all that and assess that against where we know growth is going, because we can easily see that using all kinds of cool tools that Geo and her colleagues are developing in the data and research section here at the LVPC. Then we're going to model out those transportation projects and see how they match up against performance measures that we work with the state DOT and the US Department of Transportation on. So eventually, we will then write the policy of the plan once we've got those transportation and other infrastructure projects organized and looked at. Again, those are highly foundational. We're about to release the Regional Housing Supply and Attainability Strategy at the end of August. That feeds in. To this as well, because yeah, everyone needs housing. And then that'll get rolled into a draft document, which folks will see probably early, I would say into December or beginning of January timeframe. And I don't mean a pretty draft, like something to react to type of draft. And then we'll get it wrapped up by June of next year and get it through the adoption process, which is very long, by the way. There's a lot of state and federal rules for adoption for these types of plans. And so we'll have a multi-month process to get that adopted. But the goal is to have this ready to go for October 1st, 2027, when the new federal fiscal year begins. So transportation funds can continue to flow into the community. And so then all the other aspects of the comprehensive plan will continue to be moved forward.
All right, great. Well, we look forward to hearing about what comes out of this over the course of the next few years. We've been talking with Gio Rizzicala and Becky Bradley and Matt Assad from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission on Plan Lehigh Valley. You can always listen to this program again by going on WDIY.org or your favorite podcast platform. Until the next time, take care out there, folks.